40 greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's begin with boxing. World heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua is training for a title defense October 28th when he fights Carlos Takam in Cardiff, Wales. Takam is a late replacement for Joshua's original opponent, the Bulgarian Kubrat Pulev, who pulled out with a shoulder injury. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, says Joshua Takam marks the first time two fighters with African roots will vie for the world heavyweight title. Joshua's parents are of Nigerian descent, while Takam was born in Douala, Cameroon. At stake in Cardiff will be three of Joshua's world title belts. The 28-year-old Joshua won a gold medal for Britain in the super heavyweight class at the 2012 London Olympics. He made his professional debut the following year, also in London, and Joshua has won all 19 of his prize fights, either by knockout or technical knockout. And all 19 of AJ's pro bouts have been in the United Kingdom. AJ says he's in no hurry to fight here in the United States or outside the UK.
Everyone talks about going to the States. I've heard news about going to the Middle East. I've heard news about opportunities in Africa. But I always say, like, in the UK, right, boxing is quite like a close-knit circuit. And I always know that, like, from my amateur gym and people that I grew up with in Watford, like, I give out a lot of tickets and stuff, and I help a lot of people in different ways to come to the show to experience. And I just think it's great that all these little kids and that, and their parents can come to, like, watch a heavyweight title clash. That's why I'm not in a rush to go to the States. If the opportunity presents itself, so be it. But the reason why I'm not in a rush is because people have supported me for so long here. Let them enjoy it now.
Anthony Joshua talks about the support he receives from fight fans in the United Kingdom. A crowd of up to 80,000 is expected to pack the Principality Stadium in Cardiff to watch the fight on October 28th. It'll be AJ's first bout since he defeated former world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko in April at Wembley Stadium in London. The challenger, Takam, is 36 years old and has a professional record of 35 wins, 3 losses, and 1 draw with 27 knockouts. While Takam represented Cameroon at the amateur level, he now lives in France, where he's had most of his prize fights. Anthony Joshua sizes up his opponent next week in Cardiff.
As we found out, Takam is ready, he's game, and I could assume, I've known of Takam for a long time, and I could assume he weren't going to turn down this opportunity. So I've been fighting guys that are a lot taller than me. I've been preparing for a 6-foot-something guy, and now I'm fighting this mini Mike Tyson, Ray Mercer, Tommy Morrison, boom, hooking. So I'm going to have to kind of revert back to some different training techniques and get ready to dig deep and stand in the trenches and trade with him and slow him down a bit. Because if not, I'm going to be jabbing and getting caught with silly left hooks and overhand rights because he's a lot shorter. That's going to be his game. It's going to take me out of my rhythm and I'm going to have to learn how to deal with that.
Anthony Joshua is also in the spotlight at my Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, and I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out a couple of nice photos of the world heavyweight champion. The address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sonny. One hard-hitting photo by Reuters photographer Matthew Childs shows AJ hitting the speed bag as he gets ready for Carlos Takam. And the other photo shows AJ with his arm around my buddy, Austin Okon-Akpan, head of sports at Channels Television in Nigeria. And AJ and Austin both have big smiles on their faces. Now let's go to South Africa's commercial capital, Johannesburg, where boxing as a popular fitness pursuit is gaining momentum. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, reporter Darren Taylor tells us more.
A sweating boxer punches a bag inside the top box gym in northern Johannesburg. On its walls are faded photos of boxing legends like Mike Tyson and local fight heroes including former lightweight world champ Dingaan Tobela. Ex-professional boxer Stephen Castle says when he opened Top Box 18 years ago, it was the only boxing fitness facility in South Africa. Now they're springing up across the country.
I think people are drawn to boxing because it's a cheap way of training that's effective. You don't need fancy equipment. You don't need this big leg press machines and these heavy weights and fancy treadmills and stepping machines.
One of his clients, body therapist Michelle Katsavas, says traditional workouts bore her and boxing's exciting.
It's great fun. You know, it's exercise, but it isn't. You don't really think about it at the time you're doing it. That's really why I do it.
Castle's training space is simple. A rudimentary boxing ring, skipping ropes, and a few punch bags. But as the brawny bald man says, a little goes a long way.
It increases your muscle tone. It makes you stronger where you're weaker. The routine is the routine. If you need to lose weight, you'll lose weight. Boxing will fix your body. It'll put it where it should be and correct it. That's what it does.
The trainer says unlike many other ways to get fit, boxing exercises the upper and lower body at the same time and bolsters the mind.
What I do give you is I give you the ability to believe in yourself, to have confidence in your own ability, and then the strength to know that you can defend yourself.
Katsava says her boxing skills make her feel less vulnerable on Johannesburg's mean streets.
It definitely helps in terms of how to punch correctly and to be aware of your stance, your positioning, and also your inner strength.
But she says misconceptions about fitness boxing abound, and when she tells people she boxes, they're usually surprised.
Well, they think it's a bit rough. Which it isn't. They automatically think that you get in the ring and spar, and it's not like that at all. It's boxer size. So, no, it's great.
50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 20, up. Okay, 1-2-1. Let's go. 1-2-1. Straight into it. Quick.
Castle helps a boxer work out. He says those unfamiliar with boxing think it's nothing more than brutality. Tough men from poor backgrounds pounding one another. But Castle's clientele shatters this cliché.
One of our biggest membership bases has been women, not the tough, aggressive type of people. They recognize what boxing does for them in terms of fitness, in terms of strength, in terms of confidence. Boxing, I think, has become a sport for everybody.
Diverse people indeed visit his gym.
We've got a 62-year-old lady that's been coming here for years. Attorneys. One of the guys we just said hello to now was the CEO of a multi-million rand company. We've got all types. We've got students. We've got schoolboys.
The Filipino crowd chanting for Pacquiao.
TV footage of great contests of the past inspires Zimbabwean pro boxer Shepherd Musiiwa. He's one of Castle's trainers.
Most of my clients which I train are businessmen. They come here, they train like early in the morning, and then they go and then they run their business. I turn them out, they look good. They come here, they're having big bellies, but now they're in shape now, they look good. Great.
Castle also organizes white-collar tournaments where his trainees can box for real.
They start sparring and they want to know what it feels like to get into a ring with another guy. They like to see what it feels like to fight somebody. guys that train two or three times a week now, we're going to get into a ring on a night, put on gloves, and fight somebody they don't know.
But as Kotsava says, most people box simply to get and stay fit.
We all enjoy a good party and a good drink, so this is exactly why we come here.
Boxing to burn calories after a heavy night out may not be many people's idea of a good time, but for growing numbers in South Africa, that's exactly what it is. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
In Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program. Joining us now with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. The Federation of Ugandan Football Association has roped in Zambian football legend Kalusha Bwalya in an aim to source a suitable candidate for the Ugandan national football team, the Cranes, coaching job. With interim coach Moses Basena's mandate ending after the 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifiers final game against Congo early next month, FUFA has opened a global search for a permanent coach that will take the Cranes to another level. During the press conference addressed by FUFA Chief Executive Edgar Watson, the Federation is seeking to improve on its football fortune in the days and months ahead.
The FUFA Emergency Committee took a decision to open up the job vacancy for the head coach of the Uganda Cranes, who among others will be required to also head the Uganda Cops team. The process will continue where the list that will have been generated will be discussed between FUFA and the government officials.
And it's CAF Champions League weekend as the competition inches towards the finals, as Al Ahly and Etoile Sportive du Sahel will lock horns in a highly anticipated semi-final second leg showdown on Sunday evening. The Tunisians head to Alexandria in control following a 2-1 win in the reverse fixture earlier this month. The winner will come up against either USM Alger or Wydad Casablanca for the 2017 CAF Champions League final. The first leg in all just finished in a 0-0 draw.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Mali and Ghana will renew their rivalry at the under-17 level when they meet at the ongoing World Cup quarterfinal at the Indira Gandhi Athletic Stadium in Guwahati on Saturday. Mali earned their place in the last eight by finishing runners-up to Portugal in Group B before thrashing Iraq 5-1 in their last 16 clash on Tuesday, while Ghana topped Group A and then ousted fellow Africans Niger 2-0 on Wednesday. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kofi Apari, defender for DC United. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on sunny side of life.
Hello. I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Happy Friday, Sunny. Good to be here.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Friday?
Well, on this Friday, Sunny, we know at least one half of this year's World Series matchup because winning the National League pennant last night and going to the World Series for the first time since 1988 is the Los Angeles Dodgers besting the Chicago Cubs, the defending champions, so there will not be a repeat World Series champion this year. But the Dodgers are very happy to be back, nearly 30 years since they've last been to the World Series. Incidentally, 1988, the last time they were there, was the last time they won the World Series. So it's been about 30 years since they've won a world championship. So lots of celebrations on social media. We're seeing a lot of that hashtag this team. As you remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about all the different hashtags that Twitter had and all the different emojis that were associated with those as part of the Major League Baseball postseason. And the Dodgers hashtag was hashtag this team. And so we're seeing that all over. In fact, we saw that jump to the front page of the Los Angeles Times newspaper. That was the headline they went with this morning. This team in big font, and a picture of the team celebrating was underneath that. Lots to celebrate for the Dodgers, not just going to the World Series, but Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, making some history. He becomes the first Asian-American manager to lead a team to the World Series, and just the fourth African-American manager to lead a team in the World Series. Roberts was actually born in Japan to an African-American father who was serving in the U.S. Marine Corps and a Japanese mother. So making a little bit of history there.
Interesting. Okay.
And someone else celebrating on the Dodgers is Enrique Kike Hernandez, an outfielder, utility player who was playing left field last night. Before the game last night, Dodgers owner Mark Walter told Kike that he would donate $1 million to Puerto Rico relief efforts if Hernandez got on base twice, because Hernandez is Puerto Rican, and of course the island is still recovering from the devastation from Hurricane Maria. Well, not only did Kike Hernandez get on base twice, he hit 3 home runs and scored 7 runs as part of that 11-1 rout that the Dodgers had over the Cubs. So certainly someone who was celebrating last night and celebrating a good cause that $1 million is going to go to that relief effort. And quite a lot of fans saying that was a great move by owner Mark Walter to put up that money. Wondering what the connection is between that level of play and that donation. Enrique Hernandez is not known as a power hitter, and yet he hits 3 home runs in one game. So pretty amazing stuff from him. Now, who are the Dodgers going to face? We still don't know. We hope we may get that answer tonight. The New York Yankees are taking on the Houston Astros tonight in Houston, Texas. If the Yankees win, they go to the World Series and we have our matchup. Houston wins tonight, the series goes to a decisive Game 7. So Houston actually has to win the next 2 games, the last 2 games it would be of that series to get to the World Series. The Yankees just have to win one of those.
Now, I understand one happy Dodgers fan with strong ties to the L.A. area, basketball great Magic Johnson.
Yeah, there's a video going around social media showing Magic Johnson at the Los Angeles Lakers LA Clippers game last night, and he's kind of off to the side of the court and he's watching overhead, because what they did at that game was they put up the final out to show all the basketball fans that the Dodgers were going to the World Series, and you can see Magic Johnson celebrating, but not just because he's a big LA sports fan, because in addition to being president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers, he is a part owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So certainly he has a stake in that baseball matchup. I have a feeling he's going to be flying back and forth from Los Angeles to either Houston or New York over the next few days and weeks going forward when we have the World Series. But someone who has been a big fixture in LA sports, certainly on the basketball court, but now also on the baseball field as an owner as well.
Simply magic, Andrew.
Simply magic for those Dodgers.
What else is trending in the sports world?
Well, speaking of the Los Angeles Lakers and the LA Clippers, that brings us to our next story. Right there in the Staples Center in Los Angeles, last night marked one of the most anticipated debuts of the 2017-2018 basketball season. And I'm, of course, referring to Lonzo Ball, taken number 3 in the National Basketball Association draft, but mostly known for his gregarious father, LeVar Ball, who's claimed, among other things, that his son is better than Steph Curry, that he, LeVar, could take on Michael Jordan in a one-on-one basketball game, and he's pledged that his son, Lonzo, will lead the Lakers to an NBA championship. So getting a lot of attention because of that. Well, after last night, it did not look like Lonzo was living up to the hype. He scored just 3 points in 29 minutes on the court, and the Lakers got routed by the Clippers 108-92. Now, after the game, Clippers point guard Patrick Beverley, who was really on Lonzo Ball all night, had some choice words and some profanity for Lonzo Ball, saying that because of his father's ridiculous claims and over-the-top persona, he was going to be a target in the National Basketball Association. So the response from LeVar Ball, Lonzo's father, he said, "Who's ever heard of Patrick Beverley?" He said, "Everybody's talking about my son. Nobody knows who this guy is." But as many fans point out on social media, the reason why so many fans are talking about Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball is because they are so ridiculous. It's not because of Lonzo Ball's play on the court. It's because of all their antics off the court. All this boils down to, Sonny, that this is a name to watch and a family to watch. I think it's going to be one of those instances where they dominate sports headlines, again, not because of the play in the game, but what they're doing outside of the game. They're already capturing a lot of attention, a lot of headlines, and I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon.
I guess you could say it was a rude welcome to the NBA for Lonzo Ball.
A little bit. I think fans are hoping he'll do a little better next time, but it remains to be seen.
Well, you were talking to us earlier in the week, Andrew, about a fake Klay Thompson, and I understand there's another fake NBA player making the rounds.
Yeah, it's, you know, the best beard in basketball has a brother, a doppelganger, James Harden lookalike, to making the rounds in Sacramento as the Houston Rockets take on the Sacramento Kings. Same haircut, same great beard, although he looks a bit shorter and maybe a bit heftier than James Harden.
A little heavier.
Some fans are arguing that other than the jersey and the beard, he doesn't really look like James Harden. There's a hot debate. Is he really a double, or is it just a fan that happens to have facial hair? But it's not just James Harden that has a double, not just Klay Thompson that has a double. It's Kobe Bryant. Going back to L.A., there's a video on Instagram making the rounds of showing a man who bears a striking resemblance to Kobe Bryant. It looks like he's an airport worker. Looks like this video was taken on the tarmac at an airport. Fans are saying it does indeed look like the great Kobe Bryant. So lots of questions that boil down to this. Is this a thing now? Is every team going to end up having a double? Are we going to see, you know, however many dozens of doubles throughout the season? Lots of questions about that, but fans are really enjoying this. It's a fun way to kick off the season, and they're waiting to see who shows up as a fake player at all these games. We'll see if there are any more.
And a fun way to end the week. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny. You too.
And that wraps up the October 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States will continue its long tradition of welcoming and caring for refugees. During fiscal year 2018, the U.S. government has proposed admitting up to 45,000 refugees from Africa, 19,000, East Asia, 5,000, Europe and Central Asia, 2,000, Latin America and Caribbean, 1,500, Near East and South Asia, 17,500. The new limit of 45,000 refugees is lower than in recent years. It takes into account a number of factors: the security of the American people, the government's capacity to properly vet the refugees according to its enhanced security procedures, and the backlog of hundreds of thousands of asylum cases the Department of Homeland Security currently faces from people who have already come into the United States and are seeking protection. Since 1975, the U.S. has welcomed more than 3 million refugees. With the new ceiling limit, the United States will continue to permanently resettle more refugees than any other country and will keep offering protection to the most vulnerable of those who have been persecuted because of race, ethnicity, political opinion, nationality, religion, or membership in a particular social group. It is also important to note that refugee resettlement is only one part of the U.S.'s response to the global crisis of forced displacement. The U.S. remains the world's leading donor of humanitarian assistance, providing over $7 billion last year. During the 2017 fiscal year, the U.S. provided more than $1.4 billion in humanitarian assistance for the Syria crisis and more than $581 million for Iraq. In addition, the U.S. has given nearly $2.5 billion for people from countries facing famine and nearly $104 million for displaced persons in Burma and the region. We are also the number one contributor to the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and continue to be the leading donor to other agencies to provide life-saving support for refugees and conflict victims, including the Red Cross, Movement, the World Food Program, UNICEF, and a wide range of non-governmental humanitarian organizations. This support provides vital assistance to refugees and conflict victims close to their home countries, with the view to enabling refugees to return to their homes voluntarily and in safety when conditions permit. The United States takes pride in its humanitarian efforts and goals and will continue to care for people around the world who are fleeing violence and persecution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Move it.
Special request to all the big bad girl them.
Hello, everybody. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa.
Chanda Paul, Pande Track, remix it just like that. Timaya, Pande Track.
Coming up on this week's edition, my hand-picked selection of awesome songs from all corners of the continent and the diaspora. From her home studio in Brussels, Belgium, you'll meet Ivoirian bassist Manu Gallo and discover how she has become the international queen of Afro-funk.
Je suis avec ma basse et je fais tuk tuk pak tuk 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 tuk.
And fresh fan mail, music news, and a feature song of the week will keep your current music swag in step. Don't miss it. Tune in this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 UTC. Uh-huh.